Nancy Savoca and Mira Sorvino are here. Nancy Savoca is the co-writer and director of Union Square. Mira Sorvino, one of the stars, if not the principal star, but it is really a story about estranged sisters, sisters that haven't talked for a while, and it's set in Union Square. There's a lot of conflict, a lot of emotion, a lot of drama in this story. How do you keep it from going overboard?
We don't. We keep it honest. I think it goes where it organically needed to go. We're a very much a character-driven movie. And what these two performers brought to it, Mira Sorvino and Tammy Blanchard, as sisters, what these guys brought to it was incredible energy, but honest emotion. There's not a single false note in this movie, and I'm so thrilled to be, when I watch it, it gets me every time.
When we first see Mira Sorvino as Lucy exiting the Union Square subway station in New York, we just go, okay, this is going to be nuts, because she's, you know, all dolled up, she's talking on the cell phone already, she's making plans, and then we get to know what is beneath the surface. Tell me about that.
She's recently suffered a deep loss, and I don't really want to say what it is yet, but you'll find out when you watch it. But you think that she's just this hysterical woman who's going way over the top because of this kind of on-phone breakup with this boyfriend. But there's actually her behavior, which is a little bit manic, really masks a very deep grief. But then she, just as deep as she goes into these sad moments, then she rebounds like twice as high and is in this kind of elated state where she's running around commenting on everything and making inappropriate comments and basically blasting into her sister's life, you know, like the recent New York hurricane. And her sister has tried really to change her life and to make it calm and drama-free. And, I am the essence of drama in the story, but not without truth. And the thing is, truth hurts, you know, but it has to come out. And sometimes it's painful, sometimes it's funny. But I think ultimately there's this very healthy, cathartic, you know, meeting of the minds and hearts of these two women who have been spending a long time unsure of who they are and how to deal with it. And they've been hiding various parts of themselves from their loved ones or even from themselves. So
this is a story about secrets and buried hurts. Tammy Blanchard as Jenny is also masking, as Mira said, something, even though she's trying to change her life. Tell me about this interaction between the sisters, the seeming opposites, which really aren't when we get to the end of the story.
Well, I love the way we planned it in the script, almost like, you know, a map of this journey we were going to take. But what our cast did is actually take us on this trip. It's almost like that onion peeling. Like, you keep thinking you know exactly where you are with this movie, but you are as unstable as the protagonist along the way. And sometimes it's comedy, and sometimes it's serious drama that takes you through this movie. But they keep revealing, accidentally or on purpose, things to each other, and we keep going, like, I never saw that coming. So it's a really interesting, kind of surprising movie.
Yeah, it has plot twists that you don't usually have in a dramedy like this. I mean, I call it a dramedy because it's not a straight drama. I want people to know that it's really funny.
It is very funny, and there's a lot of straight-up humor. There's also a lot, sometimes a bit of dark humor in there. But the emotional...
You love that dark humor.
You like the dark humor stuff. Yeah, but that's the thing, because we're not expecting, because I didn't know what to expect. I don't like going into a movie having watched the trailer six times, and I didn't see the trailer. I only knew the little bit about it. I go, okay, let me see what happens here.
I tell you what's so interesting. Our trailer is on YouTube, and I really think that the people who did that trailer were so smart, because I did ask them not to reveal anything. So they had very little, when I think of it, very little material to work with, because there's so many surprises in the movie. And the poster, the same thing, which I really love. There's a little bit of edge to both our trailer and our poster, but at the same time, there's humor in both. And I think both those things will actually enter you into into the world a little bit, but it's until you see the movie when you see what's really happening. But I think they're pretty accurate and a little mysterious, both of them.
They're keys, but they're not. You never know what door they open.
No,
right.
Exactly.
That's the thing, because does this really ever happen?
Not to
that moment.
No. We're talking about.
She's never walking the dog with me with the shopping bags, exactly. But we are outside together, yes. And I am in a ridiculous getup, yes. While she's in a conservative one. But she's not wearing her pajamas when in the daytime. This is her outfit that she wears the night that we go out in that crazy clubbing, and then. You know,
that's right.
Those things happen.
Depressing.
When those things happen. So, that's the thing. Because
how are you going to interview us when we can't tell you anything that happens in this movie?
No, but we talk about the feelings. We talk about what we hope to get out of the movie, and not this is the message. This isn't a message movie. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a story about people, sisters, family,
and people keep coming up to me after seeing the movie, and people have these little stories to tell me where they've connected with the movie, and surprising people, like men sometimes, because you always think, oh, it's a chick flick, it's about women. Men have given me stories, other people, and they always have these connections with the characters that are just always interesting to me. So even the audience to me is surprising.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't call it a chick flick because I don't want to limit it, because I don't think, just because the protagonists are female, there are two very funny, excellent men in the movie, Mike Doyle and Mike Rispoli. Plus a cameo by Holden Backus, who is a very small player, about yay high. People relate to it because it's about family. It's about people like kind of taking their demons and confronting them, and mixing it up again, and acting like siblings. Even the way siblings act when they're little, even though they're grown people. And I think everybody can sort of. Everybody who's got a parent who has an issue with the parent, has an issue with the brother or the sister, there's something, and it all kind of comes out. Yeah. It all comes out in the wash.
It's people pushing your buttons.
Yeah. Well, one thing, I didn't know how I was going to introduce this, but there are two movies that I've seen during the film festival, and they use repeating musical themes. One of them is this movie where Lucy's cell phone plays the Lisa and Cult Jam song.
Always Lisa and Cult Jam, I adore.
I adore
her.
Was it just because you wanted to drive people crazy every time that phone was
passed? Everyone in my family accuses of all my music driving them crazy. No, I love Lisa. Lisa's was
nuts.
Part of my life. She's great. And also, she's so Lucy.
Yeah.
She's so Lucy.
That's the thing, It's like her musical inspiration. Her musical persona.
Even when she's not there, she's there with Lisa. Yeah, when that phone rings and she's not even there. Yeah.
If we could get serious, and I have to ask Mira about this, because I'm talking in the third person. I'm going to ask you, Mira, about this. Your serious work. You're the official ambassador against human trafficking for the UN. Tell me a little bit about that.
2 years ago, the UNODC, the UN Office on Drugs and Crime, asked me to be their goodwill ambassador to combat human trafficking, and it was a great honor, and I decided to do it. I'd been working with Amnesty International for 3 years as their Stop Violence Against Women campaign spokesperson, and I really felt that the UN would give me a perch from which I might actually have some influence at some point, and because they really, in their official capacity, they can really reach the ears of lawmakers and people who have the power to literally affect change rather than just in some kind of zeitgeist way. You're putting your voice out there in the wilderness. You hope somebody heeds it. I speak to targeted audiences about rewriting legislation, about funding shelters and NGOs around the world that help the women and children and men and boys who are trafficked every day. It's a $32 billion a year criminal enterprise, second only to the illegal trade in drugs. And the victims of human trafficking are the most desperately misused people you will ever meet, and you probably won't meet them. So that's why it's really important that people understand their position. They are slaves, and they're slaves in all different sectors. There's people who are working in, mines, smelting iron ore. There are people that are working as migrant farm workers in this country and in the U.S. There's a ton of kids who are bought and sold every day for commercial sexual exploitation, and they are victims of human trafficking. And that we have a very, in North America, we have a huge problem with that. And the new lens by which we're looking at children in prostitution is not that they are criminal prostitutes themselves, but that they are victims of human trafficking, because they basically have a slave owner, their pimp, basically manipulates them, beats them, abuses them, takes all their money, and forces them to perform sex acts every day and night. And no child under the age of 18 really has the legal, mental, or psychological capacity to consent to their own sexual exploitation. So that's what I've been working on, and it's very heartbreaking. I've met little children who have been in brothels since the age of 4. I've met women who have been beaten in a sweatshop, who were told that they were lower than a dog in this country because people care about animals. They have societies to protect animals, but nobody cares about you. Mm-hmm. I've met traffickers who've burned up sex clubs of their rivals and burned the young women inside alive. You know, it's an unbelievably brutal, clandestine criminal operation, and it exists in every country, and we all have to wake up and realize that slavery is not over. It's alive and well. It's flourishing.
We're aware of it. What can we do to help or to stop it?
Well, in your own country, I'm not as aware of all the Canadian organizations that work on it, but I'm sure parallel to the United States you do have them. In the U.S., we have something called the Human Trafficking Resource Center. It's a hotline. You can probably call it from Canada, and they will network you with whatever are the most local organizations that you can work with. You can also donate, if you wish, to the UN Voluntary Trust Fund for the Victims of Human Trafficking, which directly goes to NGOs helping trafficking victims. It's not for anybody's travel costs or promotional expenses. They're vetted, and literally it goes directly to saving lives, to rescuing slaves, to rehabilitating them, and to giving them the ability to stand trial to punish the perpetrators. So there are those things you can do. You can also lobby your government for stronger legislation to end slavery yet again.
It's amazing that you do what you do for this. I want to thank you for that. Mira Sorvino is Lucy in Union Square, Nancy Savoca, the co-writer and director of this very funny and some very dramatic sometimes sister's story. Thank you very much.
Thank you.